When I was pastoring a church in Virginia, and the Sunday school class I had, for the most part, except for the last 5 or 6 years or so, I taught an adult class, and for about 25 years of that, I taught on the family, the home, marriage, anything and everything that had to do with family life that I could find in the Bible. In fact, I even looked outside the Bible, to be honest with you, trying to find something else to go in here. And I'd repeat myself sometime, too, because I didn't have that much to do. And I am no expert on family life or marriage or anything else, but that's about all the notes that I have on Sunday school, is teaching on the family and marriage and the home and children and finances and everything. We even had couples retreats, and as I said, on couples retreats, when we'd have the couples, and we did that for 34 years of the 35, we had that, and that was the only time I ever taught X-rated type Sunday school class. It was on the couples retreat. You know, I mean, we got talking about everything we could think of in a biblical way that would honor the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful for that, and I want to share some things and thoughts this morning along that line. And I'll ask you, if you would, to look in the book of Malachi. So you find the book of Matthew, just back up a few pages, and you'll be in Malachi. But I would say, and some of you get scared when you hear the word Malachi, because the only time you usually ever hear a preacher preach from Malachi is the M stands for money. You know, you think about money, they're at tithes and offerings, I know it's coming. This is not about money, but the M there also stands for marriage, in case you didn't realize that. And that's what I wanted to address and look at for a little bit as well. And we're going to look at a few scripture verses that I trust will be of help to all of us. And I realize that we've got happily married people here today. In most churches, you have some people that are not so happily married, and some that are divorced, some that are single, some that are whatever. So this is not what we're going to talk about, some things about companionship as well, but this is not a matter of trying to bother anybody, insult anybody, hurt anybody. It's just for thinking about. We think about companionship, you think about marriage, which is what I'm really dealing with, but it's for any kind of relationship with friends that we have, that we can encourage one another with the good friends. Just a few quick principles about that I think is kind of important to all of us. But when you stop and think about marriage, in my way of thinking, it is probably the most ill-prepared for institution that there is. I mean, you think of anything else we do. I mean, there's schools for everything, but you don't have that for marriage. Typically, we learn from our parents, but you know how most parents are ending up today, and we learn from that, and you think about upcoming generations as well. We learn from them, and sometimes, you know, it's important, because that's where most of us get what we see in marriage and all. But then also church is a good place to get thoughts about marriage and home and family life and all that's involved in it. And I realize that, and it's important for us, but I think it's sad that there's not more, in my way of thinking, there's not more training for young people when it comes to marriage and the home and just being prepared. You know, I didn't have a clue about marriage and thinking about it. When I was single, I got married when I was 22 after I got saved there. But I think I didn't know anything about it other than what I'd watched. And thankfully, my parents were together the whole time and still all the way to the end. And I'm thankful for that. And so I had that example. And my mom was a good, God-fearing woman and thankful for that and her love that she had. And she's the one that kind of set the pace in our home spiritually. My dad didn't get saved until my junior year in college, and I led him to the Lord in front of our trailer, and that was a special day for all of us. But when we think about marriage, you know, it's like, wow, two people come together and decide to get married and really don't have the background or understanding of what am I really looking for, what kind of person do I need to be, and what kind of person do I need to marry and looking for. So a few things about that, and back to the same standpoint, that when we think about marriage and realizing that so many marriages are failing today, as has been in most of our lifetimes, that I'm going to share a few things about. Now, I also realize, just so that I don't look as ignorant as I sound, I also realize that this is not a freshman class in college getting ready to learn how to, you know, get ready to get married. So I understand that as well. And so it's kind of like all of us can say, hey, been there and done that, you know, so we're all there. Most of us are there and understand that as well. But as I say, I think about friendships and the importance of them and companionships and how to develop them and what to do and some of that. So that's just kind of what I wanted to look at. The book of Malachi, think about Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. This is after the after the Assyrian captivity, after the Babylonian captivity mainly, because these people are in Judah. They're dealing, those three prophets are, they call them post-exilic prophets. And so it's after they were captured. And so they're back home in Jerusalem, but they haven't been faring well at all. In fact, God used the two men there, Haggai and Zechariah, try to get them going. They started on the building the temple, rebuilding it, and they just let it go because they were intimidated a lot of ways, and they just had other things they wanted to do. Sin was in their life. Idolatry came in their lives, and people were turning away from God completely. So Malachi comes along and tries to get them back going and worshiping God, finishing up that temple, make sure it's done, and get their spiritual life right with God. And that's what he's dealing with here as well. But I'm just going to mention a couple of verses leading up to what I want to share with you. But follow with me in Malachi chapter 2, if you would. In chapter 1, many times it talked about his name. But notice what it says in chapter 2 and verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. So now he's dealing with the priests. The people are bad, bad news. But the priests were worse, because the people were learning from the priests, and they're none of the priests, who are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the group, were doing right by God. He said, if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. So he's saying, I've given you this spiritual truth, you're not taking it to heart. And so some of the reasons why you're having the problems and difficulties and struggles is because of the curse I've given you, because you're not honoring me. You're no respect there for the name of Almighty God. Look in verse 5. He said, my covenant was with him, speaking of Levi and his group. He said, the priest, my covenant was with him of life and peace. That was his covenant. And I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. So God's name is vital. When it talks about God's name, it's not literally name, it is God. It's everything has to do with God, who he is and what he does for us and how he works through us and in us. But look, if you would, in verse 6 and 7. He said, the law of truth was in his mouth. This is speaking about Levi's particularly. And iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. That's a good verse to underline in your Bible if it's not yet, and as well as the next verse. But he said, this guy Levi, who is descendant of Aaron in his group, he said in verse 7, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law of his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Let me just say a couple things here with this verse. One is, he said, he is the messenger. Priest. And today, preachers are messengers of God. Our job as pastors or preachers is not to say, this is what I think, but is to say, thus saith, I want to tell you what God says, and it's my job to be able to share with you. And that's what he's saying here. And he said, these people, these priests just kind of gave up on that. And they thought, well, I don't need to do that. I've got more important things and other things I want to be. And they didn't care about it at all. And by the way, the word messenger, that's exactly what the word Malachi means, is messenger. So preachers are messengers, or pastors are messengers of Almighty God. But notice what he said there again in verse 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and then, he's saying, and they should seek the law at his mouth. It's saying the priest, or even today in our New Testament time, preachers, It's our responsibility to study the Word of God, to get the knowledge, so then we can share with other people and they can learn from the mouth of the preacher that is there. And I say, thank God for the God-fearing preacher you've had here for 40 years at Gospel Baptist Church. And you know what he says, and I just think it's interesting, because then the people, that they should seek the law at his mouth. The priest they're speaking about today, New Testament, the preacher. That they should seek the, should seek understanding what God wants from my life from listening to a pastor. And thank the, and honestly, and I know a lot of preachers, as I know Brother Tom does as well. We've been around preachers most of our lives. My whole saved life has been around preachers. I have found very few, and I mean a few, preachers that have the knowledge that Pastor Bill has. Yeah. And I'm saying, that's a lot of depth that we're privileged to hear. That's why we go to church, so we can learn from it and be challenged by the Word of God. And I praise the Lord for that. And that's a great blessing. And so don't ever take that for granted. And it doesn't hurt just a little tap on the back sometime, because it's, I mean, it just comes, and I know sometimes our abilities to learn things and know things is given to us from God. And as we also know, as we get old, and I know I'm going to get there someday myself, but as we get older, we start forgetting more than we remember, you know, and it's just kind of indicative of being old, you know. But I keep working on that. But I think, praise the Lord for that knowledge that the man of God has. And I'll also say this as well. I am thinking about Pastor Chris. He also has good knowledge of the Word of God. And it's wonderful to see him as a young man studying the Bible. He stays in the Bible and lets it come out of him. And he does a great job of communicating it to the rest of us so that we in turn can learn from his mouth the things that he has studied and worked on. I always said the hardest thing I ever did as a pastor, and I know this has nothing to do with marriage, but I'm just throwing it out to you. The hardest thing I ever did as a pastor was studying and preparing for 3 messages every week besides Sunday school. And that's a lot of work. You know, if you're going to do it right, it's a lot of work. And you thank the Lord for these men that put their time into it, the studies and preparation. But anyhow, that was, so now let me skip over here to my text that I wanted to really get to as well. But just a little background. So Malachi is dealing with people that weren't doing right by God, and he's trying to help them out. But notice what he says in verse 11. Judah hath dealt treacherously and an abomination. And the abomination he's dealing with is the intermarrying that they were doing. They were marrying heathen wives, pagan wives, wives that weren't doing right at all. So Judah hath dealt treacherously, an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. So that's the abomination that was there. They were marrying people that were not Christians. They were not saved in our New Testament terminology. They were people that were not looking to Jehovah God, walking with the Lord. So he said, the Lord then will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, that's anybody and everybody, out of the tabernacle of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. And there are a couple of thoughts here, but the main, most people, most commentators agree that's probably speaking about these men, these priests as well, that have shunned the Lord, went contrary to what God said, married heathen wives, pagan wives, and then they were just weeping over it and realized because their sacrifices were not accepted. Now remind us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will what? Will not hear me. And so he's just saying, that's what's happened there. So these people, then he says, but you say, wherefore? It's like they're saying, well, what is it? God's same thing about the tithes and offerings, it says later in verse chapter 3. Why, God? I mean, why is this happening there? And he says, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Said, you married for good, but look what you have done. You've gotten rid of your wives and the good wives, and now you've taken on these pagan wives as well. And so he's got them both ways. You know, they forgot the marriage covenant that was there and the covenant before God and before each other and being able to serve the Lord and give God the very best in life. So when man deals with his wife in a cavalier spirit, he's going to be cut off, the Bible says. So I think it's important for me today, all the time, for everyone, man, woman, any of us, to make sure we're walking with God, doing what we're supposed to be doing for the Lord and everything possible, and just being able to honor God. So here is what is the essence of a good marriage. Notice what he says that he's teaching them about. He said, here's where you've blown it. You put away these wives and you marry these others, but your wife that you had, your wife, notice that last part of verse 14, you ought to underline it and circle a couple of words here. Look, it says, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. I think for a moment, you know, because there are a lot of ideas today about marriage. You hear people talk about marriage today, and particularly young people, like, hey, we got to try this out first, make sure everything's okay, and we love each other. We really want to make sure before we get married and commit ourselves and put a ring on our finger, so we live with each other and shack up. And that's done all the time today, which unfortunately we know about those kind of things. And by the way, and I realize group like this, some of you have probably been the same way, probably were the same way. Thank God, God's blood covers everything, everything in our lives. Thank the Lord. I'm thankful for it. But I say, as I look at it here, that marriage is not two people together. Marriage is not two people just, you know, living with each other. That's not marriage. Marriage, as the Bible said, is a covenant. And that's key to keep in mind. It's a covenant. I circled it in my Bible because that's the definite. Marriage is a covenant. It's not like, oh yeah, no, we're good for go. We're going to stick together forever. We're companions until we die. That's not what marriage is. Marriage is a covenant. It's a till death do us part commitment that we make to one another. And today, I mean, people, I've seen them, I've heard them. They get married. Well, you know, if it doesn't work out, hey, you know, my mom did it. My dad, you know, hey, if it doesn't work out, or you kind of get like everything's a throwaway thing. And so it's kind of like, well, if it doesn't work out with husband or wife, I'll get me another one. But there's a covenant. I had a couple come in to see me one time, marriage counseling, and they came in. He was a military officer. He had been in our church. Then they went to Germany for 3 years, and they came back, and they're just kind of intermittent coming back. And then they came in to see me one time, and both of them, and I had my chair, a desk, got a couple of chairs here, and then I had a couch back here. It was all close together. And anyhow, they both sat on the couch in the two corners of the couch. And they said, Pastor, said, we're here to let you know we're getting divorced. And he said, we both have attorneys. We both have a date set up. We have the date set up for the divorce. But we just thought we would come in and tell you. And I think they're kind of, you know, anything there. Saying. So it's coming. So I said, well, what seems to be the problem? Well, both of them said, we just don't love each other anymore. My next question was, what does love have to do with it? You know, because there's a covenant. This is the symbol of the covenant that I made with my wife. Till death do you part. Right. I think, what part of that don't you understand? Right. Well, but you don't know, and I've heard them before. But, and by the way, but long story short on that one, we kept talking with them. Worked it out the next week. Anyhow, met with them a number of times, and they were happily married after that, stayed married. But I'm simply saying to us, it's not you fall out of love. Well, sure, you work your way out of love, but you don't just fall out of it because you quit doing what you should have been doing to begin with. But keep this in mind. Marriage is a covenant, and marriage is a covenant of companionship. You keep that in mind, because that is the full definition, I think, biblically, of what marriage is all about. It's a covenant of companionship. The Bible says look back, hold your finger here, if you would. Look back in the book of Genesis in chapter 2 for a moment. And there's just a couple of quick verses I wanted to point out to you. But in Genesis chapter 2, notice how things started for man and all. So notice in these familiar verses, in chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." God's assessment of single life, not good. It's just not good that man is alone. So he created the woman out of the man's side so that they could be companions and together serving God Almighty. But it's so, that's God that says, and by the way, we all realize, I think, that people now, young people, singles, are waiting until they're older and, you know, up in their 30s and all, getting married later. That's really not the design that God had, but some guys just have weird minds, I think. But anyhow, I look at it and I think that's God's assessment. But now look in verse chapter 2 and verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. When I was pastoring, I did some studies on counseling, and I'd go up to Pennsylvania. There was a nuthetic counseling center up there helping pastors and all and learning how to counsel properly. And I'd go up there, and there was a man there by the name of Wayne Mack, who was one of the counselors there in training. And I'd go every Monday for 10 weeks and went through this thing Monday morning, just sitting in classrooms all day. That was on my day off. That was a fun time. So Wayne Mack said this. He said, and I never forgot it, but he took a verse like that. And by the way, you think, how many times does God have to say something for it to be important? Once. And how many times does God say this exact same verse? Four times. There is no more important verse in the Bible about marriage than this one. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And Dr. Wayne Mack said, leaving, cleaving, and weaving. And I thought, that's it. You leave, and by the way, you may live on the East Coast and your parents live on the West Coast and still not leave your parents. But you can live next door and leave them, because it's inside you. Well, I've got to have mommy, you know, and going back. But you think, that's not life there. That's not, we're married together. But I think it's leaving, cleaving. I mean, cleaving there, it's that you're together. They're not time. You know, by the way, the only thing I ever found in my Bible, and I studied it, the only thing I ever found in my Bible for a biblical reason why my wife and I would not be together is to be in the military. That's the only time. Remember they said, all right, well, some of you need to go home and cheer up your wife, but we're going out to war. And they'd go out to war for months or years and then come back. That's the only thing I see. So if I'm cleaving, we're together. There's a companionship that is there. And that's what marriage is all, that's what it's for. Because it's just not a good idea to leave men by themselves. I mean, they think, and by the way, it's more than just having your dirty laundry washed. You know, there's more to it, a good marriage than that. And we realize that. But it's nice to be able to, and you know, you think about people that are single or divorced, and I think it's not easy. I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like from that standpoint. But marriage, is a covenant of companionship, which is vitally important for all of us. And then I think, here's, and I think about marriage, and I think about what companionship is. How do I develop that companionship? And hey, we're all, most everybody here has been through it a lot. I understand that. But here's one of the thoughts that I have here as well to go with it. The companionship really needs commitment. So there's commitment. If I'm going to be married, there's commitment there. If I want you as a good friend of mine, there's commitment that I have to have. I mean, it's got to be some resolve that's there, that I say our relationship is important enough to spend some time together. I was out knocking on doors just this past Monday. I go out every Monday. By the way, if any of you men in here ever want to go out knocking on doors, and I go out every Monday. I'm going all summer long. Did it last summer as well. I do it every week. I go out on Mondays, and then I usually go out one other time during the week, and that's flexible. But if you ever want to go out on a Monday, and maybe either to learn because you're not familiar with it, and then I could take you with me, or if you already know how, you could go on the other side of the street, and I'll be on this side, and we can knock on doors. But anyhow, but I was out last Monday and knocked on this one door, and I went up, saw the man. He happened to be outside, and I'm knocking on doors off of Strike Lane. I'm everything on the left side. I'm down about 10 streets now. Pastor Chris, I think he gave that for me to do, so that I won't bother him anymore. Because I mean, those streets there, they're only about a half a mile long. But my soul, the time you walk down all those driveways on one street, I always put in between 3 and 4 miles of walking because of the driveways. And then the space between all the houses and everything. So I'm saying, by the way, if you want to go out, you have to be able to walk 3 or 4 miles. But anyhow, but I went to this one door, and this man was outside in a beautiful home, and talked to him. His name was Bob. He had to be. So I think, here's a future member of our church. You know, my soul, this is providence of God, you know, to get here and meet Bob. Bob is a Roman Catholic, after speaking with him for a while. But before I left there, he could fit into our group easily. His wife died about 2 years ago, and she helped work on the design of the house. Anyhow, then she's gone, but he moved in the house by himself. Because he just madly in love with his wife, still is, but she's gone. Anyhow, we talked about the Lord and about salvation and all of this. I'm just simply saying, after that little bit of time, he was tears thanking me for just being there to listen to him and talk with him. And I said, that was my privilege, Bob. And then he said, listen, he said, you can come by here anytime you want. So was it Thursday or Friday? Mary and I didn't have his phone number. I knew I didn't. I knew right where he lived. So we went there and knocked on his door. In fact, he was outside again. saw him there and talked with him again. Mary made some brownies and took that over to him. And he sent me a note, thanked me for the brownies and time that we had there together. And anyhow, he was giving himself that. And then when I get ready to leave, he said, hey, maybe we can do dinner next week. And I thought, well, I would love to, but I've got company all week long, the 1 week that we have it with our preacher friend coming in. But I wrote him yesterday. I said, how about 2 Tuesdays from now, that night? He said, oh, I would love to. And so we got it set up. I'm just saying, what a joy. You know, but you want friendships? You know, he that have friends must show himself friendly. You know, and it works. Anyhow, you've listened too long, so I'm out of time. So we're going to have to close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you, Lord, for the privilege of having this Bible to be our guide. And Lord, knowing that we need your help all the time, I just pray, Lord, that you'll bless us, help us to be the companions we need to be in our marriage, and be strengthened in it for your glory. Bless, I pray, Pastor, as he prepares to preach now, and may our hearts be stirred anew. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
If you would like to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, you may contact us at the church website, gospelbaptistchurch.com, or you can go to Facebook and type in Gospel Baptist Church, Bonita Springs, Florida. Also, you could call the church office at 239-947-1285. Thank you, and God bless.